The following paid program is furnished by Dr. Steve Pettirudi. It's for basic entertainment and informational purposes only and is solely responsible for its content. It does not necessarily reflect the views of Cumulus Media, its management, or its staff. News Talk 630 and 99.7 FM WPRO presents Intellectual Medicine with Dr. Pettirudi. Join Dr. Pettirudi as he guides people towards living the 120 lifespan while retaining youth. He'll apply logic, reason, and scientific evidence to address conditions that drain people of their joy and vitality while protecting people from the harmful aspects of conventional medicine. Now, here's Dr. Steve Pettirudi.
Good morning, everybody. I am back. This is Dr. Steve Pettirudi with Intellectual Medicine. Good morning, Nick. How are you feeling today?
I'm feeling great this morning.
Yeah, man, that's a lot of energy, bro. What's going on back there?
You know, a good night's rest. That's what you need, right?
Good night's rest does help.
Good night's rest. High energy morning.
Now, what's your optimum sleep amount, Nick? What do you find really hits it for you?
6 to 8 hours, really. I've kind of hit that groove point where if I get that, you know, I feel real good.
Yeah. Now, are you a gym rat? Do you like to go work out?
I like to play basketball. I don't really work out per se, but I go for runs and
active
I play basketball.
Life.
Yeah.
That's important. You know, active life is more important than being in the gym even. Well, happy holiday weekend, folks. It's going to be gorgeous tomorrow. We're looking at weather up into the 80s, possibly. And we don't have Shannon with us this morning, Nick. She's busy taking our youngest Owen down to the lacrosse field where he's going to be playing East Greenwich against Warwick at 9:30 this morning. He's a long stick. A defensive guy, little stud athlete. Love watching him play. So we'll be scrambling down there afterwards. Like many of you, I'm sure you can appreciate the parental shuffle getting kids to and fro. Well, we're going to be talking about a range of topics today. I'd like to touch upon the opioid crisis and interesting information regarding first exposure postoperatively and lifetime risk. And I'm going to tie that into, the tuition reimbursement. I'm sorry, the free tuition. I'm going to tie those two together, Nick. Watch this happen. This will be cool.
All right.
And we've got a guest, right? We'll be coming on the show today. Kristen has been a patient of ours since 2015 and is going to be sharing some aspects of her journey. Avoiding infirmity and changing the arc of life is a cornerstone of living 120 years. Yes, 120 years is possible. A majority of anti-aging scientists affirm their belief that that is a likely lifespan that can be achieved, practically achieved. But we're going to touch upon a couple of key elements because I get this question often, which is, I don't want to live that long because people have an impression of it as being a perpetual state of infirmity. You know, but before we tell you how to live 120 years, the question is, can I put up with this political scene for that long without jumping off the Mount Hope Bridge? What's going on out there? So I've been thinking about why. You know, Rhode Island is a fantastic state, a beautiful place to live, and there's a consensus that our public leaders are not always of the highest caliber and are not always making the best of decisions. Now, I'll say that they're public servants by and large. Do you have any idea, Nick, what these guys get paid?
I don't.
They get paid nothing. These state senators and representatives get paid nothing. And as a consequence, who can serve, right? Who can afford to get paid nothing? People that are subsidized, A, or B, people of independent affluence. Average folk, you know, you're Joe the backhoe operator, you're a carpenter, you're a doctor, you're working for a living. You can't afford to quit work and go serve the public. You know, in Massachusetts, their representatives get paid about $120,000 a year. Now, that seems to me reasonable for a tough job like that. In Rhode Island, they're getting paid about, I think they're getting paid around $15,000, which is just enough to cover your gas money back and forth. So the type of folks that get drawn in either have trust funds or they have other sources of income. It limits our representation. So that's part of the intellectual medicine proposal for reform. I think that we should, you know, that old saying.
Pay the elected officials more.
Pay them fair salaries. You know, you pay peanuts, you get monkeys, and that's been proven. Another political reform, now people advocate for term limits. Now, Nick, if I told you that guaranteed in another 2 years you're going to lose your job, you have no choice. I mean, what would you be contemplating right now? In 2 years, this job goes away permanently. Pretend this is like a full-time job.
You start thinking about another job.
Absolutely. Now, Gina Raimondo is a young woman, professional on the rise. She's got a family to raise. Well, guess what? In 6 years, her job goes away. Now, what do you think is in the back of her mind? She's contemplating, gosh, I need another job down the road.
What's next up?
What's next up? Now, how many people entering this election cycle were clamoring for the need to send more kids to college for free? How high a profile was that in the state political arena? I mean, what matters the most to our quality of life is if you've got a quality job that you can go to every day, you have a good position. We talk about intellectual medicine and about health, and it ties into your financial well-being. If you're in poverty, you can't aspire to higher levels of good health. There's a certain fundamentalist principle here, if you will, a pyramid of need. Well, our economy is still a little laggard. Okay, the unemployment rate is going down. My point here, Nick, is that the number one issue has been a robust economy. In Massachusetts, they're having a boom economy. New England is leading the way. Rhode Island is lagging behind. Well, we need to contemplate a linkage of activities. So when Gina Raimondo came into office, it was largely on the credit of her having helped solve the pension issues. Now, that was a hard thing to do, but what that amounted to is cleaning up a legacy, a mess left behind from prior decisions. Now we're talking about introducing free tuition. And it sounds innocuous. You know, when they first put out those pensions, they seemed innocuous. A few bucks, no big deal. $30 million, no big deal. In fact, it's a blank check. There's nothing that caps this subsidy. Folks, it's not a scholarship. If you're getting a C-, you don't get a scholarship for that. This amounts to middle-class welfare. You're starting to breed a new generation of young professionals, and their first experience is going to be welfare. Welfare to go to college, to occupy time and space. So that becomes counterproductive to our ability to grow the economy. Now, there's a bill in the Senate right now that they're contemplating, which is paid sick leave. Now, there's another solution looking for a problem. In Rhode Island, we have temporary disability, TDI. You know, I've seen TDI help many people through a tough short-term illness. In other states, they don't have such a benefit. And I think it's a great thing about Rhode Island. So after 1 week being ill, your TDI benefits kick in and you get a check from the state. Well, that's a fund that you've paid into. It's a separate tax that you've paid all along. Why then do we need paid sick leave? This is anti-business. It will prevent businesses from contemplating coming here. It eliminates an advantage we currently have over other states. And it's being sponsored by two senators, by Senator and Representative Aaron Rugenberg from Providence and Mary Ellen Goodwin. Probably very well intentioned, but Nick, I'm willing to bet neither one of them ever had to meet a payroll.
Probably not.
We're talking about folks. This is what they call OPM. You know what that means? Other people's money. I'm going to curry political favor with other people's money. Now let's circle back to free tuition. This helps to elevate Governor Raimondo's national profile.
That's for sure.
This is a plank out of a national agenda, not a Rhode Island imperative. You can get this free tuition, right? If you're Freddy Krueger and you move down from Maine and you take a GED test, bang, you get free tuition.
Yep.
But if you're Cindy Muffin and you're coming out of Hope High School with a valedictorian and you go to Brown University, you don't qualify for that. You know, we're building this new center, the Wexford Center.
Yes.
The Intellectual Scientific Center. You go to Harvard to major in life sciences, you don't qualify for the scholarship. This is not a scholarship, folks. It's welfare subsidy. Now, they did a survey and they found 60%, according to the survey, pay attention because I'm going to blow this up. 60% of Rhode Islanders support free tuition, right? It's nonsense. First of all, 60% of the knuckleheads that answer the phone and talk to the survey are, Nick, have you ever gotten these survey calls?
I have, yes.
And what do you do when you get them?
I think there's only one time where I ever stayed on the line.
Thank
most
you.
Times there's an excuse.
Yeah, I'm a little busy, so you know I'm hanging up. The kind of people that answer these surveys are folks with nothing to do. Yeah, I'll talk to you. Sure.
Free and open day.
Free tuition. Sign me up. You know, you put free in any sentence and people are going to be in favor of it. You know, ask it a little differently. Say, are you in favor of writing a check so that your neighbor can go to college while the public high schools are crumbling and we need infrastructure repair. Now, no matter how they dress this up, this is a middle-class welfare program. The majority of beneficiaries will be from that strata. Why not put that money into the public high schools? Now, 100% of Rhode Island students will pass through public high school at some point. 100%. Only a fraction are going to end up going to college. And I maintain that the notion that it's going to grow the economy is a false connection. You show me the proof, Governor Raimondo. Show me the proof. France has free tuition. All 4 years, free tuition. You know what their unemployment rate is, Nick? Over 10%.
Wow.
Yeah, over 10%. And it's even higher in the 20 to 30-year-old age group. It's upwards of 50%. So that's what we need. A bunch of unemployed liberal arts majors hanging around street corners. That's just the recipe for the economy. No, let's kill this one in the crib. Let Governor Raimondo get her next job on somebody else's back. You know, we're going to tell, how's our time doing here? Not so great. Hey, when we come back, though, we're going to be talking with an exciting patient, an exciting individual, a leader in her own right. I'm Dr. Pederuti. This is Intellectual Medicine. Stay with us, folks. We all want to change the world. We're back. I'm Dr. Pederuti. I love that opening, man. That's a great riff. This is Intellectual Medicine. You are listening to the voice of Southern New England, WPRO. I'm Dr. Pederuti, your host, originator, along with Shannon, of Intellectual Medicine, where it's our goal to help you live a 120-year lifespan, to maintain your youth, to maintain your brain, to maintain your muscle, your sexual vitality. No need to give any of that up, folks. And if you're told otherwise, you need better information. Well, we got a lot to talk about, Nick. You know, hey, maybe you and I head up to North Providence, play some hoops after. What do you think?
I think that might be a good idea, but it might also be a bad one.
I don't know. They apparently are against having kids play on basketball courts in North Providence. They're cracking down on this illegal, wanton activity. Oh, where have you gone, Ernie D. Gregorio? Can you picture a young Ernie D. dribbling to the court and getting cuffed by the courts? Kid, what are you doing here? I'm trying to play basketball. You can't play basketball here. Mayor Lombardi said that you're a nuisance. Man, here you are, like in North Providence, if you haven't heard the story, and Kristen will be right on next, but this is really bugging me, folks. They tried to ban kids from playing on the public basketball courts.
The courts that they built for the kids.
Right, right. They're going to ban them from being there unless it's an organized league game. You and your buddies can't go play 3-on-3 because there are issues regarding some people getting in fights, and therefore we're going to just eliminate the entire access. How absurd. Kids, get off that court and get back in your house and play video games per order of the mayor. This is just a bad idea, people, and it ties into some subconscious biases against adolescents and teenagers, and it ties into the basketball piece. You know, we'll have to come back to that, but I don't want to leave Kristen hanging, but stay with us as we reflect upon the restrictions regarding, well, free play. But first up, we have Kristen. Kristen is calling in this morning. Thanks for being with us on Intellectual Medicine, Kristen.
Good morning.
Well, it's great having you on board. You know, you're one of our favorite people, just an absolutely effervescent personality, and it's been a joy really watching you unflower. You know, Kristen, it's like watching a child grow, where you sort of see him often enough, and you forget where they started and where they are. And folks, if you get a chance, go to our website and look at Kristen's story in some detail. Kristen, absolutely striking. And the beautiful part about what you've experienced is that you're not utterly unique. This is what happens in intellectual medicine all the time. But Chris, tell us about the beginning of things. It was 2015. You and I hadn't met yet. What was going on?
Well, it really started long before that. I'm 49. And in my mid-30s is really when I started feeling a different behavior, specifically the once-a-month time. My behavior was just out of control. Either I would be weepy and sad or really angry and short-tempered.
So there you are with mood issues, and you went to your doctor.
Went to the doctor. He put me on an antidepressant.
And that solved all your problems, and life was happy ever after.
Oh, yeah, no. I mean, it continued. But, you know, as time went on, I had no energy. Forget sex. I would prefer to watch Lifetime. And, you know, yep. I would notice hair loss. Now, certainly not a lot, but I would lose hair in the shower.
Right.
Brain fog. Couldn't keep track. I would start three projects, and I'd be on the fourth and didn't finish the first three.
Wow.
I could go on and on and on. I knew about hormones years ago with Suzanne Summer.
Right.
Years ago, I didn't really need them. I was much younger, but I remembered, Googled it. Don't you know, I had every symptom of an imbalanced hormone. Every symptom that they listed was me.
Well, that must have been kind of, pleasing in a sense that, hey, maybe there's a remedy here.
Well, I knew. You know your body.
Yep.
And I just knew something wasn't right. An antidepressant was not right. It didn't help anything.
And how did you then get from that point of enlightenment? What was your journey like to get you to where we are at Intellectual Medicine?
I Googled. Yeah. I Googled anybody that would do bioidentical hormones, and I couldn't find anybody. It was Massachusetts, New York, other states.
Okay.
Honestly, I don't recall how you popped up, but you popped up, and I remember sending an email immediately, and your wife got back to me.
Right.
We made the appointment. We went through all the symptoms, and you got me on the weight loss program.
Yep.
And we did the pellets.
Well, to set the base, it was August of 2015, and you're right, memory lapse, libido, mood, insomnia, low energy. You weighed in close to 200 pounds at that point, or 34% body fat.
And, you know, a lot of that weight is stress weight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I never really struggled with weight. I love food.
Yep.
So I don't like to call it a diet.
Amen.
Diet, you lose the weight, but then you gain it back. You have to change the way you're eating and be conscious of what you're putting in your mouth.
And that, Kristen, is a lot said, almost impossible to do just through sheer will of intellect. As you said, you love to eat, and that makes you normal. That's how we're engineered. We are born to be fat, and our brain drives us to that. And then it gets accelerated by some well-meaning but harmful interventions by conventional medicine. I had a patient once, Chris, and you can relate to this. She came to see me, and she was battling depression, and she was heavy, and she'd been put on an antidepressant by her primary care doc. And I said, how much of your depression is coming from your weight? And she looked at me and said, all of it. She said, I've gone through four clothing sizes in the past year. She said, this is devastating to me. Well, you know, we got her in the weight loss program, and guess what happened, man? The depression went away magically.
Yes, yes.
Well,
no.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that everybody, you know, there are people that absolutely do need antidepressants.
Agreed.
I don't think my depression was from the weight loss. We were in this financial, my husband's in the housing, the mortgage business. So
well, I'm glad you brought that up. I'm glad you brought that up, Chris, because it is not an either or dichotomy when it comes to some of the better elements of conventional medicine and some of the more challenging elements of living life. You know, intellectual medicine embraces the broad swath of that which helps. And you're right, Chris, and I thank you for highlighting that detail, because some patients have been, their lives have been profoundly improved by the presence of antidepressants.
Right.
It's simply that they're not the solution to the full range of problems. And what you describe so eloquently is the state of middle life for a large chunk of men and women. And the advances in our scientific understanding about that far exceed where conventional medicine lives today. Can you stick around a little while longer? Do you have any soccer matches to get to, any activities?
No.
You have to worry about that, right? Don't your kids get free tuition? Isn't that happening in your house, too?
No.
Come on. It's called the Kristen Scholarship. That's what they get.
Yeah, right. No, we have to save for you. I can't give you up.
All right, stick around, Kristen. We'll come back after the lower half of the hour here. But next up,
News Talk 630 and 99.7 FM. WPRO presents Intellectual Medicine with Dr. Pettirudi. Join Dr. Pettirudi as he guides people towards living the 120 lifespan while retaining youth. He'll apply logic, reason, and scientific evidence to address conditions that drain people of their joy and vitality while protecting people from the harmful aspects of conventional medicine. Now, here's Dr. Steve Pettirudi.
Hello, everybody. I'm back. This is Dr. Pettirudi from Intellectual Medicine on the line with Kristen, one of our clients who's been experiencing the benefits of intellectual medicine lifestyle, here with our friend Nick behind the glass. But Kristen, welcome back onto the air. And I thought I would help, if you don't mind, I was going to summarize kind of the medical part of the arc from where we started. And when I first met Kristen, she described her symptoms as brain fog, decreasing memory, decreasing sex drive, mood instability, insomnia, and low energy. And what had been prescribed antidepressants, and unfortunately they did not resolve most of her symptoms. We noted in her blood work the opportunity to improve her condition by virtue of supplementing her thyroid on one level. Now, mind you, hypothyroidism was not diagnosed. This was an off-label use, and there are many conditions where the clinical symptoms supersede the lab study, and this is one of them. At age 40, I think you're about 47 or 48 when we started, Chris. Is that right,
Kristen? Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So at that point in life, there's a drop in hormone levels. Even when the menstrual cycles are still ongoing, the testosterone fades before the other hormones with frequent symptomatic effect, life-shortening, brain-damaging effect, which I'm going to highlight more after our time on the phone with Chris as we get into the details of its cause. So we then started bioidentical testosterone, Kristen, and it was in the form of a pellet that was implanted. How did that go for you?
Well, I honestly thought I was getting some sort of IV, but I had no idea it was an implant on my bottom side, which scared me, but it worked out well.
Yep.
The first time I had it, my primary care physician told me it was the placebo effect.
Really? How about
that? I had increased sex drive. I can't believe I'm saying this on air, but my husband could not keep up. I just felt better.
Great.
And as time went on, how many implants have I had since then? Maybe four?
Yep.
It's a miracle.
Each time, what's miraculous is the human body's capacity for revival. And it's the mainstream medicine's ignorance or willful ignorance, the failure to look at this as an inevitable need. You know, life without hormones is just not fully lived. And at some point, everybody can benefit. It's a matter of when and not if. That's no placebo, Kristen. That's the real effect. You know, we sometimes diminish the value of a healthy libido, but it is a vital sign. It's a sign of life. It correlates with a decreased risk of dementia and increased longevity. And as I say, what you choose to do with it is your prerogative. And I get a lot of thank you notes from grateful spouses, both men and women, as things are improving. Tell us where you are right now, weight and energy and those attributes.
Well, I am at about 150, and, you know, people say, oh, you shouldn't lose any more weight. I guess that's just the way I'm taller. I have a muscular structure. So 150, they say, is good. I'd like to go a little lower, but
how about the energy level?
Energy is wonderful. Now, I am taking the supplements.
Yep.
I take supplements as well.
Great.
So I'm sure that has a lot to do with it. But as far as the hormones, I have to say, I am glad you're on the phone to back me up with facts, because
yep.
I try to argue this point with people, and right away, oh, that's, you know, you shouldn't put anything in your body that doesn't belong. It's natural.
No, listen, here's what's natural, folks. For a million years, you're born, you grow to sexual maturity, you reproduce, and then what happens, Kristen? You die.
That's it.
Well, you know what? I am advocating for an alternative arc, and other doctors of my mindset and intellectual fortitude are saying it belongs in your body. This is not an alien substance or a chemical. It is your hormone that is no longer being produced. And
it's not just the sex.
No.
It is my skin looks better. I have more energy.
Great.
I can't believe I'm going to share this on the radio, but, you know, bladder leakage. I had a friend that actually had the sling put in for her bladder, and I inquired about that. I mean, I couldn't cough or sneeze. Forget jumping on the trampoline with my daughter.
Right.
The hormones, haven't had a problem since.
That's great. Well, you know, there's a muscle down there called the levator ani. It's like a hammock that holds everything in. And you can operate it on all you want. If you lose your hormones, you can't make muscle, and everything starts falling apart. It's terrible. Hey, before we depart, though, and you've been a delight, I welcome you to come back. At 19% body fat, folks, you got to see the pictures to appreciate the metamorphosis. How about the facial effect? I know you've done things to enhance and maintain anti-aging facial care.
Right. Yes, I did, because I started to feel so good, you know, just everything improved, mood, everything, and I wanted to do a little more. So we did a little Botox and pretty things to the face, and I love it.
Yep.
I love it.
Taking advantage of the full range of intellectual medicine, we advocate facial anti-aging as a cornerstone of good living. Our face matters, our calling card. And Kristen, you got a beautiful mind, heart, and face. Thanks for sharing this time with us. Hang on the radio, because I'm going to be talking about the science behind the brain effect you experienced, and you can take notes and refute those who don't believe and like to believe it's just a placebo.
Sounds good.
All right. Happy holiday. Have a great Easter. I'll talk to you soon, Kristen. Thanks for being with us.
No problem. Bye-bye now.
So, Nick, we do have a little wiggle time here for the folks who wanted to call in and ask a question. What's that number?
438-9776, and then toll-free 1-800-321-WPRO.
Great. So I want to share for the listeners, it's an integrated phenomenon. Intellectual medicine, living longer, and anti-aging, it's not a simple matter of here's some hormone, slap the cream on, and have a nice day. It's far more integrated. We've got to be mindful of the soft tissue, collagen and elastin. It affects your arteries. We believe that we can reverse arterial aging, reverse the effects of heart disease. We believe that the face is a cornerstone of our happiness and needs to be addressed in a tempered manner, and that the body shape matters to folks. It's not up to others to tell you how you should feel about the way you look. It's your prerogative. So in intellectual medicine, we do body sculpting. We have something called the perfect curve, which dissolves fat permanently. But we will not use it unless your body's in a place where it can benefit. You know, they have these things out there, Nick, I don't know if you're aware, there's a cool sculpting and liposuction.
Yes.
And, you know, they're just harvesting money hand over fist, taking vulnerable people that have fat they don't want and believing they can somehow freeze it off them. Like Kristen said, you must first adopt that lifestyle, guided with oftentimes supplements and sometimes prescription medicine, to get to and maintain your best weight. You know what they found out when they did liposuction? You suck the fat out of the belly. 12 months later, it comes back again, and you get fat arms. It relocates. Just a terrible outcome. Well, I promised Kristen I would explain the brain effect with regard to hormone, so I will. It turns out, and this is from an article, Trends in Neuroscience in 2015, that the brain is dependent on testosterone and estrogen to function at its best. So we think of the sex hormones strictly related to sexual reproduction, and they're critical there. However, they're also critical for brain preservation. There's something called aromatization, which is the process by which testosterone converts into estrogen in the brain. These are considered neuroestrogens. Neuroestrogens revive and maintain the health of your brain cells. People with low hormone levels have been shown to have an increased risk of dementia. Starting your hormones at an appropriate age, and that's a younger age for women, often as young as the late 30s or 40s, and for men certainly by age 60, correlates with a decreased risk of dementia. 2015 study from Hormones and Behavior correlated low testosterone with a decline in neurologic function. People say to me, boy, my brain feels great. Yeah, nobody's born with dementia, folks. It is not a genetically inherited disease. It's an environmental phenomenon. The loss of hormones are a cornerstone of it. Speaking of brains, I will welcome to the program. Anne from Providence has a question about Parkinson's. Anne, you're with Dr. Pederuti on Intellectual Medicine. I'm having trouble hearing you. Hey, Anne, are you there?
I'll try speaking louder. All okay. Right, is that good?
I've got you. What's up, Anne?
I'm sorry, Dr. Pederuti. I've been diagnosed with Parkinson's, and now it's frozen foot syndrome.
Gotcha.
I didn't know if there's anything that can help me with that. It's awful.
Yeah, Parkinson's is a progressive neurodegenerative disease.
Yeah.
Nobody really understands its cause. It's tied into a decrease in the neurotransmitter called dopamine. Unfortunately, yeah. Conventional medicine doesn't have much to offer here, Anne, and I'm sure you've had some of the drugs prescribed, and they are marginally beneficial. They sometimes help blunt symptoms. Now, what we do at Intellectual Medicine for Parkinson's is part of this global approach. Parkinson's correlates with infirmity and accelerated weakness. So the hormones can regenerate the brain. They can also regenerate muscle and skeleton. In addition, high-dose intravenous glutathione is a powerful antioxidant that is correlated with stabilization of Parkinsonism and may be a great asset. We have a program in place, and several patients are benefiting from that, where they're using this combination to maintain independent function. And we're really pleased to have that, Anne, because, you know, entities like Parkinson's that have no credible treatment to prevent their progression need a special focus with Intellectual Medicine. So I hope you have a good journey with your disease and that you were able to arrive at means of stabilizing it. But we'd love to be able to help people with Parkinson's and early memory deficits. These programs have strong benefit to them. How am I doing over there, Nick? Yeah. Hey, Anne, it was great of you to call in. Thanks for listening to the show. And I am Dr. Pederuti. We do need to take a break here. This is Intellectual Medicine. We'll see you back after this commercial break. Yeah, man. I love it. This is Dr. Pederuti. We are back. This is Intellectual Medicine. Nick, I spent my teenage years on the courts downtown East Greenwich. We'd be there for hours and hours.
I still spend hours and hours at outdoor courts.
Beautiful thing, isn't it?
It is.
Now, you know what? I think what happened to Mayor Lombardi when he was in high school, some basketball players beat him up and put him in a locker.
Or he got picked last.
He got picked last. That's right. No, man, we don't want you on our team. We're talking about the ban on the use of public space by the mayor of North Providence regarding the basketball courts. Apparently, you can't play basketball on the basketball courts in North Providence. You are a public nuisance when you're there. Absurd. When we have a generation of kids that we're trying desperately to get them physically active, when we have a generation of kids looking for use of idle time and you're banning them, can you picture the scenario, Nick? What are they going to do? Yeah, what are you in for? Yeah, armed robbery. How about you, kid? I'm doing 5 to 10 for layups. What are you doing, Mayor? It's a stupid idea. Okay, I get it. You know, I talked to Shannon about this morning, Nick, and she said, well, if they're fighting and yelling and littering, that's an issue. Okay, agreed. But there's a better remedy than bulldozing the court.
Exactly.
You know, we recently moved to downtown Providence. We're now living at the residence next to the Omni in Providence, and I want to thank everybody and Pam Hogan and the crew over there for making our transition great, and Mike and the rest of the gang. I tell you, it's wonderful. I love being in Providence. I'm trying to find a basketball court, Nick. It's Providence. It's an urban game. I can't find one near my house. Folks, if you know where it is, please tell me. I think there's a subtle form of discrimination against teenage men. I don't think people are really fond of having clusters of them in the neighborhood. That's just my opinion. And I think it goes beyond that.
You might be onto something.
You know, I went to this park, and there's a huge park. I could walk to it in Providence, and there's softball, and there's soccer, and no basketball. How can that be? You know, and they wonder why the Friars are struggling, right, to get to the Sweet 16.
Yeah.
You know, we need another Ernie D. We need basketball court. That's my stump, a basketball court in every corner. Folks, a programming note, Tony DeJesus and I are going to be teaming up next week to help educate you about how to prevent and intervene in the setting of Lyme disease. Nobody's more expert in how to eradicate the population of white mice that can contribute to your risk of acquiring this devastating illness. And at Intellectual Medicine, we will help with the insights should you befall, should the disease hit you. Well, I want to leave our listeners with a nutritional supplement tip of the week. And this is branched-chain amino acids. You ever heard of branched-chain amino acids?
I have not.
Okay, so there are 8 essential amino acids. These are the ones that your body cannot make, that you must consume through your diet, or else you will suffer adverse consequence. 3 of those amino acids are called branched-chain. They simply have side chains on them. One of them is called leucine, the other one is isoleucine, and the third one is valine. The leucine is the one that is critical for muscle building. So you'll see it advertised a lot in muscle magazines, the branched-chain amino acids. When you go into the gym, and I know you're a hoop guy, but those of you listening that want to build muscle and are interested in preserving lean body mass, when you go to the gym to do your workout, make sure you never go on an empty stomach. And you want to be certain of having some protein intake. Now, those branched chains are in the protein. You can also buy them as separate supplements. Their value is questionable for most people. But those of you who enjoy strength training and try to optimize that, they may have merit. What happens if you burn up your branched chains in the gym while you're lifting is your body starts to flip on the production of serotonin. And that leads to fatigue. It's called gym fatigue. So you're there, you're doing your first set, you feel like King Kong. By the time you're on second and third set, you barely have any energy left. The remedy for that is not to eat something. It's that you needed your branched chains before the workout. 10 grams of leucine for most of you will be a good number to hit. If you're not in the gym working out, you can get the branched chains through your regular protein intake, which comes from animal foods. They can also come from soy products. You want to have a whole serving of essential amino acids. I'd say 4 or 5 times a day would be ideal. And that's what we do in our one of the elements of our weight loss program. But I enjoy going to the gym. I like working out. It's one of my hobbies. So before I hit the gym, I always take my protein. We have something called Daily Fuel at Intellectual Medicine. That's a great precursor. Well, it's been fun. So hopefully we're waking people up to the need to liberalize basketball courts across the state. And today you heard about the importance of maintaining your hormonal health in brain function. We'll continue to talk on this topic. There's so much misunderstanding about it. Replace your hormones or suffer the consequence. In the meantime, have a beautiful holiday weekend. The weather tomorrow is going to be spectacular. I want everybody in North Providence to go to the courts and shoot 3-pointers. And if you get arrested and you're doing time for the 3-point shooting in North Providence, I will throw your bail. And remember, next week, Tony DeJesus and I are going to be teaming up our intellect to help guide you through how to prevent and intervene should you get Lyme disease. It's been a pleasure. Next up, Tony DeJesus and the Big Blue Bug Solutions. Thanks to Nick, Doug Lazette for the news. This is the voice of Southern New England, WPRO, and I am Dr. Pedderudi, Intellectual Medicine. Together.